If you've ever been curious as to what a sugar-free Haribo gummy bear tastes like, it tastes like sadness. Trust me, and trust the members of the HMS Barbarossa, you do not want to find out. As always, you are listening to The Sphinx's Call. Welcome to episode 7 of the Sphinx's Call. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, I'm Commander Steven Rosenthal, PMVME, the voice of Sixth Fleet, and I am delighted to be back in the studio recording this episode. We took a little break last month due to some technical difficulties and just some time constraints, but we're back and we're aiming to be back on the regular monthly schedule. So how is everything going? I hope that this podcast finds you all in the best of spirits. And as always, we have a great show lined up for you. I wanted to give everyone a brief update on how Todd Rotolo is doing. If you hadn't heard, last month, Sixth Fleet did a GoFundMe campaign for one of the keelplate owners of the Barbarossa. His name is Todd Rotolo. He suffers from chronic heart failure. He was on the transplant list for the longest time, and recently he had to undergo a very major surgery. And I'm happy to report that he is recovering. He has been out and about, and he's back to his normal self. I would like to express a very special thank you to everyone who either donated to the campaign or posted very nice well wishes or a few nice comments or even just thought or prayed for Todd. So from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of everyone's hearts on board the Barbarossa, thank you very much. Todd wanted me to express his thanks on behalf of himself and of his lovely wife, Mary Beth, and on behalf of his two sons. So we made a family very, very happy, and we've made a part of history, in my humble opinion. And that's one of the many reasons why I love this club, and I'm happy to come back and do this podcast. So again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much to everyone who shared, posted, donated, just thank you. Words cannot adequately express how thankful I am for each and every single one of you. On a slightly less sappy note, let's move to everyone's favorite part of the show, the awards, announcements, and promotions. So we did miss last month, so the list is a little longer than normal, and that's a good thing. So we're catching up. If I happen to miss something, or you were promoted or you got an award and I didn't hear it announced here, please send me an email and I'll make sure that you get the proper recognition on the next episode. So without further ado, we're going to start with some birthdays. So we would like to wish a late happy birthday to Ensign Dina McKell of the HMS Perseus, Spacer 2 Kevin Jeffers of the Invictus, who was also promoted to space, who was recently promoted to Spacer 2nd Class at the end of March. I'd like to wish a happy birthday to Aaron Clark, who is the commanding officer of the K. I would also like to wish a happy birthday to Larry Cameron of the Ares, Ensign Andrew Kolb of the Deinikes, as well as the Bosun of the Deinikes, Anna Krausen. Happy birthday to both of you. And finally, a happy birthday to the XO of the Deinikes as well, Lee Kolb. How could I forget you? So happy birthday to each and every single one of you. I hope that your day went very well and that this year will be the best year for you yet. So let's move along to the promotions. Well, as I said earlier, we'll start with the Invictus. As I said earlier, Spacer 3rd Class Kevin Jeffers has been promoted to Spacer 2nd Class. That happened on March 31st. Congratulations. Next up, we have on board the Ares, we have a new bosun. Congratulations to Chief Petty Officer Nicholas Cameron. Let's see, who is next? We have a lot on board the Barbarossa. Dispersing Clerk 2nd Class Paul Marchafava has been promoted to Dispersing Clerk 1st Class. Spacer 3rd Class Randolph Allen has been promoted to Spacer 2nd Class. Civilian 1, Stephanie Campbell, has been promoted to Civilian 2. Private David Campbell has been promoted to Private 1st Class. Helms Mate 3rd Class Liz Maynard to Helmsman's Mate 1st Class. Spacer 3rd Class Gerald Andry to Operations Tech 3rd Class. And Civilian Christopher Zeke to Intelligence Specialist. On board the Pegasus, Spacer 3rd Class Alex Schaefer has been promoted to Spacer 2nd Class. And finally, on board the Peregrine, Marine Private Dave Strang has been promoted to the rank of Private 1st Class. In March, we had a new ship commissioned. And the new ship is the HMS Chiron CL-122, based out of Coppell, Texas. The Chiron, or Chiron, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing your name, is under the command of Ron Marchant. Lieutenant Commander Carl Gallagher has been named as the executive officer, and Chief Petty Officer John Atkinson has been assigned as bosun of the Chiron. Congratulations to both of y'all, and best of luck in your stay here with the fleet. So we're now going to jump into some of the shenanigans that happened over the first weekend of March. The first weekend of March was CoastCon in Biloxi, Mississippi, and members of the Barbarossa were on site conducting a recruitment drive. So the following interviews were recorded on location at CoastCon. Please enjoy.
So here at CoastCon, we're joined now with Commodore Ashley D. Nichols. Hey, Ashley, how are you enjoying CoastCon so far?
So far, so good.
That's good. What's been going on? So what do we got going on today?
Well, we've, of course, got our recruiting table with the normal accoutrement so people can see what we're about, what we're up to. We're trying to get a few new recruits. We got two signed up today already. I've taken my walk around, said hi to all the other fan groups that we normally work with and joke with on a regular basis. Saw the dealer's room, talked to a guest or two, and back at the table. Man in the fort.
Yep, and now we're man in the fort. So we're sitting here at the recruiting table, and we've got a very lovely setup, partly due in thanks to Renee Haggerty of Third Fleet. Thank you very much for letting us use your table runner. It is very much appreciated. So we're here. We're set up. We are overrun by Adoptable Tree Cats. We've got a great banner that is their first time here at this con.
And we have payday available for all new members. They can get paid immediately, get their one Swedish fish for being a new crew member. We can also get them their signing bonus of an additional Swedish fish.
So you get two fish just for signing up, just for enlisting and being a new member. So what else do we have going on? We've got a game of Artemis planned. We've got Artemis being brought to us by the USS Neptune. Definitely going to have a look at that. A little later, we might even stop by and we'll have a local celebrity on the show. I'm sure he wouldn't be too sad to be on here.
He likes to talk a lot, quite a bit.
He does like to talk a lot. In fact, just last night, he had a very good interview with the voice actor Steve Bloom. He is the voice of Zeb from Star Wars Rebels.
Very nice guy. Met him at MechaCon last year. Very nice guy.
Yes, we were fortunate enough to be part of the 501st Legion who inducted him as part of the Legion,
That's right.
So we've got some good gaming going on today. Have you had a chance to play any games?
No, I have not. I did see one or two that I might want to buy, which is always deadly to my wallet.
Which ones did you have your eye on?
There were some add-ons for Star Wars Armada, which my understanding is that they're working on getting Armada qualified as a marksmanship. There's also some X-Wing supplements, which X-Wing's already qualified for marksmanship. And then Fortress America, the recent Fantasy Flight re-release of that game. I have an older version, but the newer version was much more expensive than I wanted. It's discounted here, so I may get that, but that would give me two copies of the same game, so I'm not sure. I'm not sold on that one just yet, but on Saturdays I try to hold back on buying anything so that I can see where things go and what's out there, make sure I've seen everything. It gives me a chance to make sure I've donated to the charities that I want to support during the weekend as well. And then on Sunday, that's when I'll make my purchases to take home, if I decide I'm going to actually buy anything to take home.
You know, Sunday's a good day to buy, because sometimes you'll get a good deal. Dealers don't want to bring it home, so you get a little bit of a discount.
Absolutely.
So speaking of charities, we have a donation box for one of our crew members, a keel plate owner of the Barbarossa, Todd Rotolo. You heard about him. We had a brief little commercial earlier this past month. We've been doing the GoFundMe account, which is, as of this recording, we've raised $1,200, which is going to go towards paying some of his medical bills. So as we look across the table here, it looks like we've got a little bit of a parade. Ashley, what do you see going on over there?
I see some furries going over there, but I've got Steve Bloom walking. Mr. Bloom, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mr. Bloom! Hey, there's our celebrity sighting for the day.
Yep, and yeah, we have a parade of furries going by, which that's cool. They had put a lot of work and effort into their costumes. It's some fantastic looking work. You know, it's not my thing, but I certainly respect the time and the effort that they put into that work.
Absolutely, so. They do a lot of those people make those by hand. I know I had a friend in high school. Surprise, he turned out to be a furry, and he walked up and he had this big old nice lion suit that he told me that he made by hand, no sewing machine, sat there and stitched it all by hand.
That's impressive. It's a lot more work than I'm willing to put into a costume.
I agree. I'm sitting here in this uniform, and this was hard enough to do. I don't know how he could sit there and manage a full fur suit. Absolutely nuts.
Definitely not me. That and it's a very hot costume, so I do not like heat very well, so no, that's not for me.
Absolutely. So, you know, we saw some furries go by. What other costumes have you seen so far today that you've liked so far?
I saw a very well done Matt, the radar technician, based on the Saturday Night Live joke about Kylo Ren from Star Wars Force Awakens. Very well done. I've seen an Asuna costume from Sword Art Online. Also very well done. A number of different anime costumes, some Star Wars costumes, some Doctor Who costumes, a lot of fezes, some scarves, little fourth doctor there.
Fezes are cool.
Sort of. I kid. Fezes are cool. I say it a lot, and I say it with all sincerity. Whatever your fandom is, whether it's furry, Honorverse, Star Wars, Doctor Who, whatever, you know, enjoy it. Live it with a passion. Go out, have fun with it.
Own it.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with liking what you like. Go out and enjoy it, and that's part of what we and the Honorverse do with the RMN. So we have the safe zone, that if somebody feels like they're being harassed, they can come here and not be harassed. We don't do that. We're very open and welcoming, and we'd like to be able to provide a protected space if people feel that they need that safe space at a convention. So that's available. That's available if people want to do that. But again, everybody's able to enjoy what they want to do. I've seen a lot of parents and children costuming together. And that's really cool. You know, we got some zombie hunters going by right now.
And in fact, I see a dad Batman and a little Batgirl, a young Batgirl. That's pretty adorable.
Yep.
But yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of family costumes going by. And that's great, because that's our future.
Yep.
That's the future. We teach them young. We teach them to be comfortable with their own skin and show them that it's okay to dress up and play pretend.
Yep. That's And that's a very important thing that I can tell you, 25, 30 years ago when I was much younger, we didn't have that kind of open freedom with it. A lot of people took guff for liking science fiction or liking this book or that show or dressing up as a character. And it's good to see that it's dialing back, that people are able to let their freak flag fly a little bit.
You taken any panels in yet?
I shouldn't have.
Anyone, any panels you're interested in?
No, I didn't really look hard at the panels for CoastCon this year. I find, for the most part, if the CoastCon and Geekonomicon are both conventions that are at a convention center, and the convention hotel is a separate building, separate entity from it, I find when I do those conventions, I tend to stay at the table. I walk around and see everything, but I'm not necessarily jumping on panel discussions or... I'll do gaming, but I won't necessarily do the panel discussions or a lot of the room individual room stuff, just because it's... I want to make sure that the table's covered, so that all my crew has an opportunity to go see and do what they want to do. If something, of course, jumps out at me, I say I have to go see. It's much easier to do. But for example, Contraflow last year, our table was right outside the gaming area. So when Michael Scott, one of our crewmen, was doing his demos of the Honorverse RPG, the scenario came out at HonorCon this year. It was released that he was one of the authors for. When we did the demo of that, I didn't have to go far to get back and forth to the table. The panel rooms were just down the hall around the corner, so I didn't have to leave the table very long. I could see the panel, come right back to the table with ease, and still make sure everybody had the coverage that they needed. So again, that everybody was able to enjoy it.
Our setup here is a little different from that, because the gaming area is actually a little farther down the hall from where we are. We're kind of in a big square space, and there's a little bit of a hallway. It's about maybe 20, 30 feet or so.
Correct.
So it's a little more challenging to get to the gaming area, and then still be able to make sure that everything is covered. So look, we'll let you go, Skip. We'll check back in with you a little later.
Sounds good.
All right, enjoy your convention.
Thank you.
All right, it is Sunday, and it is Hawaiian Shirt Day on board the Barbarossa. I'm joined here with helmsman Liz Maynard. Liz, thank you for coming.
It's good to be here.
So how did you enjoy CoastCon so far?
I'm having a really good time, actually.
Well, that's good. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Well, for me, mostly, I've been just sitting around hanging out with the rest of the crew, and, saying hello to everybody else that I know as I go by, because you go to these things for long enough and you start knowing pretty much everybody.
Yeah,
true. We've just been hanging out at the table and talking and laughing and having fun and signing people up. We got people.
How many people do you know how many people we got this weekend?
Last I heard, last night, we had five.
Five, that's pretty good over the span of a weekend. That's pretty good. Yeah. What was our record, like six or seven or so? 12, that's right. We had 12 over the span of a weekend.
That was the first Geekonomicon, right?
That was Geekonomicon 1 in 2014. And
yeah.
Man, we keep trying, but I don't think we're ever going to beat that.
Probably not, but five is respectable.
So tell me, Liz, why did you join the RMN?
Well, my friend John Glenn gave me these two books for Christmas and said, you have to read these books. And it was the first two books in the series. So I started reading them, devoured them, said, these are awesome. And he says, well, there happens to be this fan club that goes with it. And Ashley is the captain of the ship. And I'm like, that kind of put me off a little bit that Ashley was the captain. But I said, well, I'll join anyways. And so I did. And of course, I always want to fly. So it's like, oh, I'm going to be helmsman.
Yep, and she flies the ship. So if y'all remember, a few episodes ago, we were joking about the crewman that flew the ship into the asteroid. Well, here she is.
I did it on orders from my captain.
That's her line, and she's sticking to it.
Yes, it is.
It happened, like, what, almost a year or 2 years or so ago, and we're still kind of teasing you.
Yeah. I will be getting teased about that. Forever. I mean, we're going to all be dead and in our graves, and we'll be flying around as ghosts somewhere, and you guys are going to find my ghost, and you're going to come up and go, boo, hey, remember when you flew into that asteroid? So.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So you, so not only do you fly the ship, you also created a tree cat.
Yes, I did. When I joined, all the gray tree cats had sold out, and I really wanted a tree cat, and they didn't have the license at the time, so they couldn't make any more. So I said, well, six-legged cat. I can do that. Went to the toy store, found two of the same. I found a white, two white tigers, and I went home, and I basically played Baron Frankenstein.
Yes, and I remember seeing the picture that you were posting. You would take off the legs, and then sew the legs on, and then take the bodies apart, and the body together.
And I sewed the tails together to make it longer, and I had to add, you know, the middle section with the extra pair of legs. So I had to cut those things in half, which scared my own cat, who was very interested in the process until I started cutting the other white cats in half. She's also white.
So yeah, I remember that you were telling us that we got to that part, and she bolted in the other direction.
Yeah, and I didn't see her for like 6 hours.
Oh yeah, she was terrified.
She was like, am I next? So I made him, and then my mom helped me, and we made a little beret for him. So I got the little patch on the beret, and he's actually got a ribbon, so I put that on his beret too.
Yes, going back to Geekonomicon, there was a very first one in 2014. Frankie and Ghost, who was the male tree cat on board, who belonged to James, or who adopted James, they both served as fan group liaisons for months. So we took a bunch of silly pictures in the captain's chair from Starfleet and
the Cylon Raider.
The Cylon Raider that was there. And for their efforts of bringing goodwill and good prosperity to other fan clubs, they were awarded the Navy Achievement Medal.
And for a while there, I thought Frankie was going to end up with more medals than I was, but I got back on track. So
yeah, couldn't lose to a tree cat.
Yeah, that would have just been embarrassing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So also at this convention, we have the USS Neptune. They set up
Artemis.
They brought their setup for Artemis. Have you had a chance to go crash their ship yet?
I have not. I am quite looking forward to it. I was hoping to do that this afternoon. Not crash, just play.
Not crash, just
play. I don't know if they'll let me play Helm anymore.
I'm sure if we ask nicely, they'll be okay with loaning it out.
Well, as long as Ashley isn't giving the commands, I should be fine.
Should be fine. Oh, okay. Well, I hope Ashley isn't listening to this.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, here he comes. Oh, yep, wait, where's he? Oh, okay, he just sat down. We're good. I don't think he heard it. I think we're okay. So, if you were going to be inviting somebody to join the organization, what would you tell them? Or, like, what would be your selling points on the organization?
My selling points? Well, usually first I ask if they've ever read the books. And if they haven't, first I try and sell them on the books, because you got to sell the story first. If they have read the books, I tell them, well, it's free. That's always a really good selling point for a fan club. It's free. And I start talk about our ship, because that's the one I know. And I say, this is what happens, you know, organization-wide. And I said, this is what we do. And we get together, and we have meetings. And, you know, we do serious stuff. We do the fundraising. But we also get together and hang out. We get together and game. At the conventions like this, we hang out, and we just generally get together and have a good time.
Yep.
As evidenced by, you know, Hawaiian shirt day.
I know, we're all wearing our very, very lovely and very tacky Hawaiian shirts.
Yes, because that is Sunday dress.
That is
on
Sunday
the Barbarossa.
Because we were just too tired from load in, and then we were partied all last night.
Yeah.
Sunday's comfy day.
Yes.
So. Yes, indeed. So we were the ship that started that tradition, and I hope the other ships in the organization continue that organization.
That would be great if we could spread it. I'd love to start seeing pictures pop up of other ships at conventions with everybody in Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, that'd be great. I would love that to be an official thing. Like, yeah, we've got
even if it wasn't official, just to see some people, some other ships doing it.
Yes, indeed. Yep. So Sunday we've got Hawaiian shirts and our ship baseball caps. That's our order of the dress.
Yep.
So our standard order of dress for a con weekend is we do ship shirts. We made custom shirts with our unofficial motto of...
Or any sort of Honorverse shirt.
Yep.
Like I have the, you know, Keep Calm and Roll Pods shirt.
Yep.
That works.
Yep, con minimum essentially on Friday.
Saturday we do our dress uniforms as best as you can, because not all of us have uniforms. We've got a couple, but we're working on it. And then on Sunday is Hawaiian shirt day.
Yep.
And then at all times, con minimum is always appropriate.
Well, yes. At all times, clothing is required.
At all times, clothing is required. Shoes included.
Yes.
Shoes count as clothing on board our ship.
Yes, they do.
Now, if you were feeling extra creative, kilts are optional on Sundays. We have the option for kilts.
And we do have a few members wearing them today.
Yes. We've got a nice purple tartan kilt running around somewhere. That's Remy.
I don't know what color David's kilt is, but
David's is black.
He's our
Marine, and we're going to get him on the show in a little bit. He's wearing his Marine beret, and
he's got his token Marine at this convention.
Yep, he's the token Marine. He's the one that's keeping us safe. He's our ground security.
Yeah.
Ground operational security. Well, all right, Liz. Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing a little bit with the rest of the organization.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great rest of CoastCon.
All right. You too.
So we're now joined with Private David Campbell here at CoastCon. David, tell us why Marines are awesome.
Marines are awesome because we're trained to be the very best at what we do.
And what is it that you do?
We represent the Royal Manticoran Navy and be the best that we can for the fandom.
So if you were recruiting somebody and you were selling them on the Marines, what would you tell them about?
Well, the first thing that I would tell them is it's a fantastic fandom that's filled with wonderful people that represents an awesome series. And as far as the Marine aspect, frankly, our uniforms look better.
Now, for those that don't know, the Marine uniform is for the enlisted, it's a black jumpsuit with a green stripe down the side and green BDUs. And for officers, it's similar to the Navy officer tunic, but they just don't have shoulder board, or they don't have shoulder boards. They've got soft shoulders, and they have the ranks and the collar brass on there. But you're right. They're very, very good uniforms. I mean, they're not as good as Navy is, but it's got its subtle charm.
Well, the one thing that you forgot is the striking green beret.
How could I forget about the striking green beret?
The striking green beret, which commands respect.
Respect and commands that you avert your eyes from how bright that green beret is. I'm standing here next to you, and I can't look at you. It's just so bright.
It's a wonderful thing.
So, David, how was your CoastCon so far?
Really good. We needed to have a weekend away, and I want to thank the ship for bringing us on board and giving us this wonderful weekend. We've interacted with so many people this weekend. We've met new shipmates who've joined the ship, got to hang out with ship's crew and company, and it has just been a fantastic weekend here in Biloxi.
Absolutely. So tell us, can you name one specific aspect of CoastCon that you're going to take away forever? Give me a highlight.
One of the highlights was dinner with ship and crew Saturday night, which I will have as a memory for many years to come.
That was an absolute blast. You're right. Saturday night we went to kind of restaurant would it be like?
It was a multi-fusion type restaurant with a lot of different food aspects.
Yeah, there was really a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah.
Very much so. The service was great. The food was great. But, that kind of hammers home the point that, yes, we're here. We dress up in fancy costumes and everything. But really, at the end of the day, we're just a bunch of people with like-minded interests, and we all like each other. And we just have fun.
Well, that's true. One of the aspects of fandom is you can always find someone who's interested in the very same thing that you're interested in, no matter what your interest would be, no matter what your universe is that you prefer to play in. You'll be able to find someone who enjoys doing the same things, who have the same mindset, the same goals, the same ideas, and you can enjoy living those days with them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and in the process, you make lifelong friends.
Oh, absolutely.
And you create brand new memories, and in years from now, we're going to look back and say, hey, remember that time we did this?
Absolutely. And usually there's a number of photos involved. Many of those photos get circulated to the web, so make sure that you look for Royal Manticoran Navy photos. You'll find a bunch of wonderful stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. We had some great times. We had some great times. I'm going to take this opportunity to give a shout-out to John Mangus.
Hello, John.
So, John, I know you're probably not listening, but John Mangus, he was in Jurassic World, sat right next to Chris Pratt in the asset containment unit. He's so famous that we had a member of our own ship dress up in costume as a screen-accurate John Mangus.
There's a funny story to that. I used to paint John Mangus as Darth Maul back in the day. And, that launched his stardom.
Yep. So you're telling me that John Mangus was Darth Maul?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. John Mangus was Darth Maul.
Man, I think I need to get his autograph.
I'm sure that you do.
I think this needs to happen.
I'm sure we can make that happen.
Ooh, I like having this access to us to a movie star. All right. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Stay safe. All right, I'm joined now with Spacer Second Class Andy McDonald. Andy is not only a member of the RMN, he's also a member of Starfleet International. So, Andy, tell me a little bit about how awesome it is to be in at least two different fan organizations.
From my point of view, it's really great. You get to work with a lot of people. You've got that commodity with all your friends together, the community. You've got so much there you can work with. It's not just... You're working with fan group. You're not just working with two groups. You're actually branching out, working with multiple groups.
And that's kind of one of the things that we're blessed with down here in the New Orleans area, the Gulf South area,
right,
is that we have just so many fan organizations, and we all work so well together.
It was put to me that all the fan organizations down here are just one big happy family, except for we're split up in the subgroups of the family. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, we all pull together, especially when it comes to charities and stuff like that. We try to work a lot together, and
absolutely,
that's what I like.
Absolutely. In fact, when the Barbarossa was first starting out, the captain, Randolph, captain of the USS New Orleans, Randolph,
right,
he helped us out a lot. He gave us a lot of good pointers, and he just helped us kind of make the next step up.
Right.
So definitely without his help and a little bit of guidance from him, we certainly wouldn't be where we are today.
And being with the RMN, you know, I'm really starting to find that it's really fun to be with you guys. You know, the exams, they're actually fun to take. The books are great to read. I would have never read them if I didn't meet you guys.
I know. I remember you told us, you know, you're kind of hesitant to read them. And then when you made the plunge, you read that first book. You read how many in a week?
So far, I'm on the third one right now. I've read three in a week.
Yeah, they're that good. You just can't put them down.
Yeah. The stories are really... there. I mean, the way David Weber writes those stories, it makes you feel like you're actually there. You're, oh, come on, please. No, Captain, do this. You know.
You get right into the action
mm-hmm.
with them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I find with the exams, too. You got to start thinking kind of how it would work in the Honorverse. If I was put in this situation, what would I do?
One thing I do like about the exams, of course, they're all open book. But the one thing I do like about the exams is they do go back and they touch on our history as well, our human history as well, then go and then touch on the Manticorian history or something up in that area.
So you're right. I agree. When I signed up for my first test, I didn't really know what to expect. I did expect, you know, some trivia here and there, but you're right. I didn't expect to learn about real world, real Earth history.
Well, that's the same thing with Starfleet Academy. We have over 4,000 exams, and they range from anything from engineering to history to English, all the way to Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, all Doctor Who. And doing the engineering exams, I realized how much real world applications I'm looking at.
I mean, and you learn, and you do learn some new things.
Yeah.
The example that I always use is the hydroponics exams. I didn't know what that was. I saw hydro and thought it'd be like water, you know, pumping water through the ships. I had no idea that it was actually growing plants using water, water-based medium instead of soil.
Right.
Definitely very
interesting. Which is actually a very cleaner way of growing food.
Yes, and you can grow it wherever there's light,
mm-hmm.
even artificial light. You can grow it indoors.
Yep.
Because I've seen some cool hydroponics gardens. Actually, I mean, my personal favorite is the one in Disney World in Epcot.
Yeah.
When you ride through the little boat ride in Disney World in Epcot.
I remember that one.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, look, how has your Coast Con been going?
My Coast Con's actually been doing very good, though. I've come over there and visited you guys quite a bit, do some things with you guys. We had the, I'm also part of IKF, the Imperial Klingon Forces. We had our Day of Honor ceremonies last night, which went off really great. And with our group, we have two people are signed up with Starfleet, and also we have three potentials, hopefully within the week. And I've actually talked to a lot of people about the Barbarossa at the same time. So
now on Saturday, I saw y'all were giving a martial arts demonstration.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Actually, Denzel Miracle is the person that's in charge of it. He's a black belt in judo. I think it's judo. Or one of them. I can't remember. And I help him. We teach a lot of self-defense, you know, for women and stuff, if they have problems, how women can get out of situations and stuff like that.
That's good. I know it was billed as, Klingon martial arts display?
Yeah, Klingon defense martial arts.
I know, and he had you in some positions. It looked like they were pretty painful.
Actually, they really weren't that painful. It was just awkward because my arm would be twisted back and I couldn't really, you couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
And he was just sitting, he wasn't putting pressure. He just had his arm on my arm and I'm like, locked up, I can't go anywhere. It's like, let go of me, please.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, all right, Andy, well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, and I hope the rest of your weekend goes really well.
Thank you very much.
Do you get a chill seeing a storm of missiles heading away from your ship? Do you believe a laser head exploding is a work of art? Do the letters MDM in your mind stand for merriment, delight, and mirth? If you answered yes to any of these, then the Missile School is for you. Sign up today and join the ranks of proud missileers. Saganami Island Technical Specialty School Missile Course is now accepting applications. The few, the proud, the missileers, join today.
Listeners, I'm now thrilled to have the Chief of Staff of BUCOM joining us now for a quick little interview. So as you'll know, the Chief of Staff of BUCOM is the one and only Captain Senior Grade Zach White. Zach, thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure, sir.
So Zach, tell us a little bit about what your job at BUCOM entails.
Okay, wow. So, several things. So, I am one of the main focal points for artwork approval. So I'm a part of the command triad there. There's myself, Admiral Buckley, and Commodore Dave Wiener. And the three of us are in charge of pretty much all of the branding that goes on for this organization. We approve the artwork. We make sure that everything follows the common theme. All of the posters that you'll see for conventions, business cards, style guide, manuals, that all flows through BUCOM. And pretty much all the printed work and the outward image of the organization passes through our hands at some point in this process.
So recently, everyone was asked to submit or resubmit, actually, materials or promotional materials. Can you tell us a little bit about what kind of brought that on and kind of how the project is going?
Well, there were a few things that we found floating around that had come about before the branding was put in place, before Manticore Company Limited was put in place. And these have been hanging around for quite a while, since around the founding of the organization. And they didn't meet some of the branding that we'd set forth. They didn't meet the style that we were trying to push forward for the organization. So instead of calling a few people out and, you know, we're trying to avoid embarrassing groups of people and that sort of thing. So we just brought everything back in for a general overview, make sure everything meets the branding, meets the style, and we're hoping for a quick turnaround, and I think we're meeting that on most pieces, and we are finding a few things that need some tweaking, but it's all in all, it's going pretty smoothly. We've gotten a lot of good response from it. We've gotten a lot of material turned in, but I think the next step now is ship COs are going to be seeing emails coming into them from BUCOM, just checking up, making sure that we're hitting all the artwork that may be hiding in some corners out there, make sure we get everything in, and so we have a consistent theme going forward.
So I think one of the highlights that, or one of the focal points that everyone needs to remember is that it's just a review. It's the, it's just a review, and it's just with the intent to make sure everything is up to spec.
Yeah, we're not going on any sort of witch hunts, and we're not looking for, you know, we're not looking to call people out and, you know, yell at them for not having compliant artwork. It's more of, like I said earlier, we're in charge of the branding for the organization, and it started out as a fan club, but now as you know, and as your listeners know, we are the official fan organization. We hold the license from David Weber. We hold the license from View 9, the license from Words of Weber. So we're representing something bigger than ourselves out there. And we need to have a consistent image and put forth a professional image to the public when we're presenting these things. So we're representing Mr. Weber, and we're representing his works out there, and we're trying to do right by his works.
So tell us a little bit briefly. Don't go in too long, because I know you've got a lot of these things happening. Tell us a little bit about some of the upcoming projects that you're working on.
We have the RMN uniform manual that I'm working on. That's not necessarily a BUCOM project. That's more of a personal project, but it's one that's happening nonetheless. I mean, that one's almost done. I know I've said that on the internet for people that have seen my posts about this. I've said it's coming soon, and it is. It's currently with Martin. It's currently with Admiralty House, and they're doing a final review on it. And there were a couple things that needed to get pushed up to BU 9 for final review. So we had included in this new manual JAG Officer Corps and O&I Officer Corps, and we needed insignia for those. So that needed to go to BU 9 for approval, because the ones we were using were actually U.S. Navy placeholders, and we can't do that for licensing and copyright reasons. So we've made our own, and that's in the final stages of approval with BU 9, so hopefully within the next couple weeks, the RMN manual will drop. I'm also working on the Marine Corps uniform manual, which we had a text version of our draft, was dropped for review with the Marines. So that's out on Facebook floating around. I know people have seen it, and I know I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that. In the beta works right now is the Grayson uniform manual. And I am also working on, with the BUCOM leadership team, a revision of the style guide to include some of these things that have popped up. We've found problems with, like, questions about posters. We're going to be addressing those and giving a couple consistent styles that people can use, clarifying business cards, clarifying banners, things like that. And I know I'm forgetting some things, but this, in a nutshell, that's what's happening at the moment.
So BUCOM is hard at work.
BUCOM is very much so hard at work. We're trying to, oh, that's what I forgot about, the uniform order.
Yes, the uniform order.
Yes, I'm, as everybody knows, or, well, most people know, that was debuted at HonorCon last year, and we've got the pre-order done with, and I'm currently slogging through my backlog of emails, cataloging everybody's sizes and how many things they want and everything, and getting that done with. I know we've definitely met our minimum order, but I do have to revisit some things with a few of my respondents. We need to revisit some sizing issues, because I did put out a sizing guide, and a couple people chose to either ignore it or they didn't see it. So we have to revisit that with a few people, and that's holding up the process a little bit. But I expect that to be cleared up pretty soon. It was put on hold a little bit while I had my movers in here at my house, but we're back on track now, and that should be cleared up shortly, and I'll be soliciting the money for it, and we'll place the order. So that is on the fast track.
So that's good. So one of the things, while we're on the topic of the uniform order, so Is it true that once this big order is, this initial order is made, will people be able to go back and order singletons?
Yes. So the way that we'll set this up, the company, it's Band Shop, is the company that we have. They mostly do bulk orders for schools, universities, marching bands, that sort of thing. Well, we were able to cut a deal with them that we had to order a minimum of 20. So we had to have a minimum of 20 people commit to the uniform order. And then once the big order is placed, there will be someone in charge of the order number, basically our account, if you will. And for the RMN uniforms, for that account, it'll either be myself, or more likely I'll put Admiral Lessem in charge of it, so I don't have to deal with it and I can move on to something else. But if somebody wants to order a uniform, basically what they'll do is they'll go in, they'll take their measurements, do their measurements and get everything in, send Martin an email, and he will send that and the payment to Band Shop as an amendment to our original order. So it's, unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit more of an involved process than just going to a site like Cosplay Sky, where you can just click on it and order it and it'll come to your door. You'll actually have to submit an order form up the chain, and that'll have to be submitted in as an amendment to the order, but you will be able to order as a singleton. We made sure of that. That was one of the first questions that I asked. And yes, to address another question, I know you didn't ask it, but I know people are interested in this one. They do understand women's sizing. So, it's not that there's going to be a specific cut of the uniform specifically for females. There's not going to be a male jacket and a female jacket. But when they make them, they will tailor it so it will fit a female form. They'll put, I think she was talking about putting darts or something in princess seams in there somewhere. So the female jackets will be tailored specifically for the female form, and the male jackets will be tailored specifically for the male form. But for those of you that didn't see the uniform at HonorCon, it is heads and tails above Cosplay Sky in quality. This is good stuff. It's a very nice uniform, very heavy fabric. It's not cheap at all. I mean, it's very nice looking. I'm very pleased with this company, and it was actually brought to our attention by a couple of our other members that had been looking at this, and we're very grateful for them, and we've recognized them in an appropriate manner with some praise and some awards for helping us find this company.
Now, there are some pictures available, and there's actually, you posted a video around last summer, I think, about everything.
The video was posted a little bit after HonorCon, so it would have been, it was actually this winter, and the video is still up there. There's a Facebook page dedicated to the pre-order. I have closed the pre-order, so I'm not accepting any more submissions for that, unfortunately. But I did leave it open a little bit longer than I said I would, but I have closed it for real, and I cannot accept any more orders right now. So those of you that have missed out, I'm very sorry, but once this order is placed, they'll be able to, like I said, place the singleton order through myself or Martin as an amendment.
Right. So you just mentioned awards. Are you at all involved with the awards manual revision?
I'm assuming that I will be at some point, but I'm not directly. That's not one of the things that I am personally involved with. I'm sure I will see it at some point when it passes through the office, but I'm not exactly sure who is involved with that. I don't know if that's currently on in the fire at the moment, but I know it's in the works. That is another one of those much needed revisions to manuals that needs to happen. But unfortunately, a lot of these were made when the organization was a lot smaller, and now things are cropping up that were not thought of back in the day, or just it didn't come up before, and now there's a lot of questions that need answering and a lot of things that need clarifying, and the awards manual is right up there with things that need to get done.
But yeah, that's all in due time. Like you said, like you just said, a lot of those manuals were made when the organization was created, and we didn't have 4,000 plus members.
Yep, exactly. But I think that some of these manuals, the older ones, were out when we didn't even have 1,000 members. So I mean, it's We have grown quite a bit since the official founding, which I believe was, what, 2007, 2008 was the official founding of the organization. So in those years, growing from basically Martin and a couple of his buddies to over 4,000 people is an astounding feat for a fan organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And for the most part, we all love each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is one of the better groups that I've been a part of. I'm no stranger to fandom, so I've been a part of several groups over the years, and they all seem to have that, I don't know, I don't find the same things that I was finding elsewhere here. This is a very professional organization. I mean, you get 4,000 people, you're going to have differences, but this is not the everyday catfights that you find in some other organizations, and I can't tell you how much I'm appreciative of that. This is a great organization to be a part of, and one that I definitely see myself staying in for quite a long time.
I agree 100%, and I found that as an organization as a whole, we're very open to new ideas, and we're very open to change. We might be a little hesitant to change, but we're open to it.
I mean, absolutely. You don't find the sort of interaction with the creator and the ability to make your mark on an organization elsewhere. That's something I think is pretty unique to TRMN and to the Honorverse in general. And you've got David Weber, he's a member of one of the chapters. He's very involved in the day-to-day running of the organization, per se. I mean, he's one of the most approachable, famous people, I suppose, that I have the pleasure of knowing. And you look at some of these factions within this organization, like the Royal Manticoran Army, for example, the Grayson Space Navy, the Merchant Marine, Astro Control, they are more or less creating their own canon as they go along in conjunction with Vue 9. Those were things that were not fleshed out, per se, in the books, but exist within the universe, and the people that are part of it are, no kidding, creating things that have become canon in the universe. And I think that's amazing. You will never find that in something like SFI or the 501st. It does not happen. But here in the Honorverse, here in TRMN, that is entirely possible. And that's amazing.
And we're all happy to be a part of it for the most part. We're all one big family.
Well, I mean, I hope you're happy to be a part of it. If you're not happy in the fandom, then why are you here? That sort of begs that question.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, and we're all, like I said, we're all family. We all love each other. And like we said earlier, we might have our little differences here and there, but we all, at the end of the day, make up, go about our business, hug and kiss and make up. And it's great. I love that.
Exactly. I
absolutely love that. So you're the chief of staff at Bucom. Tell us a little bit about how you came into that position.
Okay. So this is going to be a little bit of a story, and I'll probably get internet punched by some people later, but here goes. So back when I was a lowly second, how was it? No, that's a real term. Back when I was a lonely lieutenant senior grade, like pretty much about 2 years ago. And I was the XO of a destroyer here in Tidewater, HMS Vengeance, which has now been relaunched as another destroyer out of Tennessee. But my Vengeance was here in Tidewater in Hampton Roads. And I had made some business cards for our ship, which are now all intents and purposes, helped create that the black business card template that you'll find now on Bucom's website in the style guide. But I had created them, and I thought they were the bee's knees, and they were the best thing ever, and all that jazz. I didn't run them through Bucom. because at the time, that wasn't really a thing. And I might be part of the reason why it is a thing now, but for at that point, I had not run them through BUCOM. And I got contacted by Diane Boakley, who was the chief of staff at BUCOM at the time. And she and I have pretty much the same personality. And we did not hit it off. And we feuded for a long time. And I don't know how that came to be, but essentially, I like doing artwork. I've been told I have a very good eye for detail, that I know branding and that sort of thing. And eventually, I mean, Diane and I are best friends now, but we eventually, made up, and we talked it out and hugged it out at Manticon last year. And I left, I came to Manticon as captain of the Beowulf, which was a battle cruiser that spun off of the Vengeance when it upgraded. And I left Manticon as the chief of staff of BUCOM. So what happened in there? I don't know, but, that's a true story, but it's, so I don't recommend that as a promotion path for most people, but I guess it worked out for me, and that's how that happened. I was feuding with Diane, and I guess that was, she said, now you get to deal with all the crap that I dealt with. Here, you're now chief of staff. Apparently they've been looking for one, and if I hadn't spent so much time feuding with Diane and with our clashing personalities over stupid business cards, apparently I would have had the job a lot earlier, but I guess it was all good natured fun in the end, but that's how that happened, and that's a true story.
Yeah, that's a true story.
I haven't looked back afterwards. I mean, I love the job, and like I said, I'm best friends with Diane now. I can't imagine what we were fighting about in the beginning, but I mean, now that it's all in context, and I know her, personality, and I look at her as sort of looking in the mirror, as it were. So we're both extremely snarky individuals. we don't like being told that we're wrong. And it was sort of like, oh, I don't like these business cards. You need to change that. Well, I don't want to. And this was before the big branding thing. And like I said, I think I might be part of the reason why this whole thing's happening, but you're welcome.
So can we now use that line when he'll tell us to change something? Well, I don't want to.
No, no, you can't, because I'm like one of those parents, right? That, you know, your kid's trying to do something and I'm like, nope. Been there, done that, done it better, got the t-shirt. So, I was BUCOM's problem child for the longest time, and now the problem child's in charge of approving artwork. So I know all the tricks, I know all the things that people try to pull because I've been there. That might be part of the reason also that I got this job, but no, they're a wonderful group of people, and I love both of them to death, both Bob and Diane, and that I couldn't have asked for a better posting in this organization. In all honesty, it's a lot less drama than wearing a white beret, if you believe that. I willingly gave up the white beret to take this job, because I didn't want to give up my position on the uniform board, and you can only have two hats in this thing, and doing the uniforms is my second passion next to creating artwork, so I didn't want to give that up, so I gave the Beowulf to Misty, and that's where that happened. So, and then she got offered the job as the deputy second, so she had to give it up and gave it to our XO, and now he's the captain. So, all in a day's work, I suppose.
I'm just picturing that scene from the Tom Hanks movie, where the guy's going, "I am the captain now."
That's pretty much how that happened.
Just like that, huh?
It was sort of an opposite. I took the beret off and put it on my wife's head, and I said, "Look at me. you're the captain now. That's actually exactly what happens.
Oh, boy. And there's pics, I'm sure, to prove it, too.
There probably are pics somewhere. There's some pretty hilarious pictures out of Manticon. Another story, but that'll probably get me internet slapped, but Diane had nicknamed me Pavel Young. And at the time, I think it was supposed to be sort of an exasperated insult because it was when we were feuding. But as sort of a here's to you thing, I had one of our nameplates, the dress uniform nameplates, done up that says Young, comma P, and I wore it to Manticon. And there's pictures of her with one of Kevin Marimatsu's pulsars on me, and it's pretty funny. The whole thing is, looking back now, is so hilarious. It's sort of unbelievable a little bit.
So let me ask you while I've got you here.
Sure.
So what are your plans for PaulCon 2016?
Oh my goodness, there are so many plans for PaulCon. Did you know that we have t-shirts?
I did. I saw the t-shirts.
Yeah, you should have gotten one because those are limited edition now. But PaulCon 2016 is going to be a great event. Mostly missile pods. That's what it's going to be.
Is there anything else? That's all you need. Oh my god.
No, that's it. We're just going to wave some red flags and everybody has a stick-on mustache. And then there will be the celebratory multiple rounds of missile pods, and I think that's really all I have planned for PaulCon. I might get Zach McCauley in to do a panel about Paul Tankersley, but that's sort of an afterthought. It's mostly about missile pods.
Okay, so explain the convention to everybody that wasn't here initially. That's not familiar with the PaulCon.
Well, PaulCon started as an inside joke, because as you know, well, maybe people don't that didn't go, but a lot of, at Manticon, this past Manticon, Martin announced that there was going to be a third convention for the organization, which we know is now called SphinxCon. And I believe John Roberts is going to be hosting this one. It's going to be out in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area. So we now have three cons spanning the U.S. We've got HonorCon in Raleigh. We've got Manticon in Minneapolis. And we're going to have SphinxCon, which I believe is set for 2017, I believe. And that's in Albuquerque. But there was a naming thing for it, and they wanted to solicit names. And as a joke, I started hashtag PaulCon, and it's one of those things that's now become an indescribable inside joke, laughing point between a group of people. And it's anytime anything goes wrong, it's sort of a hashtag PaulCon, or anytime somebody says something snarky, hashtag PaulCon. So unfortunately, it's not a real thing. I wish it was, but it is not a real thing. It's more of an inside joke. And that's really all I can say about it. There's not too much. I mean, I didn't really expect it to get as big as it got. I put those t-shirts up, and I honestly thought only myself and Diane was gonna order them. I sold 11 t-shirts. I only bought one of them. So other people appreciate hashtag PaulCon apparently, and it's an inside joke. I mean, it's not really anything to be. I don't know. I never expected it to get that big.
In 5 years from now, when they announce the fourth one, and it's literally PaulCon. Oh my god!
I will once again submit PaulCon. I hold out hopes that there will be a real PaulCon at one point. But I mean, I put the hashtag out there, and apparently PaulCon is a thing. Because it showed up bold on my Facebook, and so I clicked on it, and it went to something. So PaulCon is a thing somewhere, believe it or not. But there will never be another TRMN PaulCon. That's a thing. It's a force in and of itself now. It's the inside joke that went too far. That's what it is.
Well, Zach, our time is coming to a close. Is there anything we'd like to say in closing or give any special shout-outs to anybody?
I think I shouted out to enough people in my stories. But, yeah, thank you for having me on. I love the show. It's a great opportunity to be here, and keep up the good work. I mean, we look forward to everybody's artwork coming in, and we look forward to approving it. And we'll see you around the fleet, I suppose.
Okay, so I know I said we're almost done, but I'm just going to put this disclaimer out there. Putting hashtag PaulCon in your art submission requests does not speed up the process. I promise. Don't do it.
No, if anything, that'll put you at the bottom of the queue.
So don't do it. Submit and wait for it to pass.
Yeah. And I mean, if you do have a con coming up and you need something done ASAP, put that in your email header, and we'll put you up there and get that taken care of. I know we've done that for a few people, but do not put hashtag PaulCon on your submission. It is not a real thing.
Just don't do it. Now, I make no promises about if you can sneak it in your art. I can't make any promises about that. Just don't put it in the body of the email.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that, sir.
Yep, just don't put it in the email. All right, Zach. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some of these stories with us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Everybody, thank you, sir.
Again, that was Captain Senior Grade Zach White, the Chief of Staff of BUCOM. Folks, this is going to do it for episode 7 of the Sphinx's Call. In closing, I would like to remind everyone that we are coming up on the last few weeks of the Black Sphinx Cup Training Challenge. Please make sure to submit your final spreadsheets to Cliff Stornell as soon as possible. He would like to get those in before the 28th. That way he has time to collect and compare all of the data. So again, get those spreadsheets in to Cliff as soon as you can. Good luck to everyone. For everyone that is traveling to MantiCon in May, I wish you all very safe travels. And for everyone who is kind of on the fence about SoonerCon, get off the fence and get into the field that says, I'm going. They're going to have a great time over at SoonerCon. David Weber and his wife Sharon Weber themselves will be there, and it's going to be a great time happening in Oklahoma City. So if you have anything that you would like to be reported on the air, please send me an email at radio6fleet@hotmail.com. Again, radio6fleet@hotmail.com. As always, it has been a pleasure bringing you the latest news of coming out of Sixth Fleet. Again, this is Commander Steven Rosenthal, PMVME, the voice of Sixth Fleet, reminding you that whatever you do, do it with honor.